Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Chapter entitled Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, Text 21. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Lord Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me, purport. The personality of Godhead is described in the Bhagavad Gita as most pure, the supreme and the absolute truth. There is no trace of a tinge of materiality in his person, and thus one who has the slightest tinge of material affection cannot approach him. The beginning of devotional service starts from the point when one is freed from at least two forms of material modes, namely the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. The result is exhibited by the signs of being freed from kama and lobha. That is to say, one must be freed from the desires for sense gratification and avarice for sense gratification. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand Bhagavan Ki. The balanced mode of nature is goodness. And to be completely free from all material tinges is to become free from the mode of goodness also. To search the audience of God in a lonely forest is considered to be in the mode of goodness. One can go out into the forest to attain the spiritual perfection. That does not mean that one can see the Lord personally there. One must be completely freed from all material attachments and be situated on the plane of transcendence, which alone will help the devotee get in personal touch with the personality of Godhead. The best method is that one should live at a place where the transcendental form of the Lord is worshipped. The temple of the Lord is a transcendental place, whereas the forest is a materially good habitation. A neophyte devotee is always recommended to worship the deity of the Lord, Archana, rather than go into the forest to search out the Lord. Devotional service begins from the process of Archana, which is better than going to the forest. In his present life, which is completely freed from all material hankering, Sri Narada Muni does not go into the forest, although he can turn every place into Vaikuntha by his presence only. He travels from one planet to another to convert men, gods, kinnaras, gandharvas, rishis, munis, and all others to become devotees of the Lord. By his activities, he has engaged many devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, many others in the transcendental service of the Lord. A pure devotee of the Lord therefore follows in the footsteps of the great devotees like Narada and Prahlad and engages his whole time in glorifying the Lord by the process of kirtan. Such a preaching process is transcendental to all material qualities. So, Narad Muni is describing his own experience in devotional service, that remembering Krishna through the process of hearing, chanting, worshipping is a very impactful transformative process. Sakshatena daya dekha parokshita daya ke bujhite pare chaitanya chandrir maya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he transformed Prataprudra Maharaj. Vastrapaya rajar hoila anandittaman prabhurupa kori kore vastrera pujan. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave stage-wise realization to Prataprudra Maharaj and did not directly give him his mercy, but indirectly first sent his cloth and then allowed him entrance into his pastimes. And thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gradually prepared Prataprudra Maharaj's consciousness to directly come in contact with him, showing that devotional service is not attained based on one's material qualification, power, glory of being the king. But when the Lord decides to give his mercy, only then one can access the Lord. Sarabhama upadeshe chhadi rajavesh ekale vaishnavaveshe korila pravesh. And then when Sarabhama Bhattacharya instructed that yes, the Lord has entered into Jagannath Vallabh Garden, this is the Balagandhi, and then you should actually go in Vaishnava Vesh, giving up all external symbols of royalty. Take humble position. Then Sarabhaum Bhattacharya's instruction is followed by Pratapadra Maharaj, and he goes and speaks the Gopi Geet in front of the Lord. Prabhu kahe ke tumi karila morahit achambite asi piyao Krishna lila amrit. Mahaprabhu says, who are you who is giving such wonderful nectar of Krishna katha? And at that point, purva seva dekhitare kripa upajila anusandhan vina kripa prasad korila. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken a decision that I will give mercy to Pratapadra Maharaj because he took the humble position of sweeping in front of Lord Jagannath in the Rath Yatra. So therefore Mahaprabhu decided to give his mercy at that point. And so Pratapadra Maharaj says to Mahaprabhu that Raja kahe amitumar dasirana das bhrityara bhrityakara aimurash, that I am simply servant of your servant, and that is my only aspiration and desire. So therefore the process of bhakti is gradually revealed to an aspiring sadhaka when he takes the humble position of being the servant. And therefore when compared to the process of karma and jnana, bhakti in some ways is quite challenging, because in the process of karma, when a person performs meritorious activities, then there is a boost to his ego. Yes, there is a sense of achievement. When a person follows the process of jnana, there is boost to his ego. I gained so much of knowledge. When there is the process of yoga, there is a boost to the ego that yes, I achieved so many perfections. But in the process of bhakti, there is a severe challenge to the ego, because one has to take the position of being a servant. And therefore, here Pratapadra Maharaj, being the king, is not given darshan by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the basis of being the king, but he is given darshan when he decides to gradually dissolve his false ego. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gurudev kripa bindu diya koroida se trinapekh atihina, that when we actually take the position of being a servant, then drops of mercy are released, because of which the false ego is dissolved and one becomes actually qualified to come closer to Krishna. Yah sarva lokaik manobhiruchya saubhagya bhukachita krishtapachya yatrayam aropana tulya kala saprema shaki phalavan atulya. Raghunath Das Goswami was very pleasing to the devotees because he took the position of being their servant. And so Raghunath Das Goswami's success was not in his ability to perform so much of austerities, which was mind-boggling and superhuman. But he actually advanced because he pleased the devotees. Yah sarva laukaika manobhiruchya saubhagya bhukachit akrishtapachya. Because his service attitude towards the devotees was so transparent, so pleasing, the Vaishnavas blessed him profusely. Because of the profuse rainfall of the blessings of the Vaishnavas, the soil within his heart became so fertile that there was no need for tilling that soil. Saprema shaki phalavan utulya yatrayam aropana tulya kala. And therefore when the seed of bhakti comes in contact with such a fertile soil of his heart, immediately that sprouts into a luxurious tree of bhakti and gives the fruit of prema. Saprema shaki phalavan atulya. And instantly the fruits of pure love are obtained. Therefore, devotional service is based on seva. And seva basically means that a servant tries to please the master. And so right from the beginning of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, all the processes of devotional service are designed to actually train a sadhaka in this mood of being a servant, of being a sevak. And so we find that, you know, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with his devotees in Jagannath Puri, 6 years Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent preaching in South India, but 18 years Mahaprabhu spent in Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu spent 3 times more time experiencing the process of bhakti than spreading the message about bhakti. Because ultimately preaching is nothing but sharing of one's experience of the practice of devotional service. And therefore, when we speak about the process of bhakti, the process of bhakti is about becoming a servant or das. And therefore, Swarup kohe ei balabhadra bhattacharya tomate susnigdabada pandit sadhu arya. And the process of das means 4 things. First, susnigdha, one must have affection for one's master. Second, pandit, one must have intelligence on how to serve. Third, sadhu, one must have self-control over one's own behavior and dealings. One should have sense control, because unless one's senses are under control, one will be constantly thinking about our own needs, my own needs. One's thoughts will be selfishly directed. Only when we are self-controlled and sense-controlled, we can think about serving the desires of someone else. One of the devotees of in the 70s, he was in Vrindavan after having preached in a few places, and he was really enjoying his experience in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada came to him and said, I want you to leave Vrindavan and do some preaching. And he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am enjoying my stay in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is such a nice place. Wonderful experience. Prabhupada said, the purpose of bhakti is not to enjoy your experience, but you are supposed to share whatever you have under the instructions of the devotees. So I want you to go and preach. He said, where? Where should I go and preach? Prabhupada said, go to Sri Lanka and preach. So this devotee had no desire to go to Sri Lanka. He looked at Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Sri Lanka, very small country. Prabhupada said, okay, go to Pakistan then. So he looked at Prabhupada and said, okay, Sri Lanka is better. And then he went there, and there he came in contact with the Rational Association, and then, you know, Abraham Kovoor, and there was a amazing conversation, and he actually established, you know, Srila Prabhupada's teachings very strongly there. So when we feel that, yes, I have my own way of doing things, and, you know, I don't feel like following someone, I don't feel like following something, I'll do whatever I feel like doing. So then that creates various waves which oppose the flow of pure bhakti. And therefore, the practice of bhakti begins with Shravanam. We hear about great souls, how they have practiced bhakti in the past. Right? Kirtanam, we are aspiring to serve the Lord by praying to the Lord, please engage me in your service. Archanam, then the devotional service with respect to the deities, trains us in how we should adjust our own life in a way which is centered around the deities. Right? I remember many years ago, one of our brahmacharis, he left the ashram. This was like 1996. So as he was leaving, I was asking him questions. Why are you leaving? So prasad not good. No, prasad was good. Devotees were not kind to you. No, devotees were very kind. You did not have sufficient engagement. No, I had enough engagement. Was it too much engagement? No, no. So what is your problem? No problem. So why you're leaving? You have any exit while leaving? Do you have any feedbacks for us to improve? He said, everything in the temple is good, only one thing. If you can make the Mangalarti at 10 o'clock in the morning, it will be great. I said, that's not possible. So, the whole idea of deities is, for the first time, the conditioned soul starts thinking, how can I adjust my life, my behavior, my habits with respect to the deities, with respect to Krishna. So it's an opportunity for us to change our own life centered around the deities. And therefore, the program for the deities is set right from morning till night. But then we have to adjust our schedule. And when we start doing that, we are making a statement that yes, I'm trying to be a servant. I'm trying to actually accommodate as per your desires. Because in the spiritual world, the soul has to spend his entire eternity serving Krishna as per his desire. So this is a practice for that. After going to spiritual world, you cannot be asking question, why you are telling me to do this? Why this kind of thing is coming? So all those questions need to be answered here. And then when one is ready and prepared, then Krishna finds that yes, this person is qualified. So therefore, we find here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is dealing with Sarabhaum Bhattacharya. So this conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is very interesting. Because Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is a full impersonalist. He does not believe in the personal presence of the Lord, that the Lord is a person. Because when you consider the Lord to be a person, then he has a desire and he expects the servant to behave and relate in certain ways. And therefore, as far as the impersonalists are concerned, they do not have conception of the personal form of the Lord. So when there is no personal form, there is no personal desire, intention, reciprocation. So all that does not come into play. So Prabhupada was in Amritsar and he was doing a program. And it was like so many impersonalist sadhus were there. It was like a conference of various saintly people. But practically everybody was speaking impersonal philosophy. So Prabhupada suddenly got up and he started walking away. So Gurudas Prabhu was there and he looked at Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are the next speaker, you're going to come up soon, and why are you leaving? Prabhupada said, all impersonal philosophy. I'm not in the mood. He said, but if you don't speak, who is going to speak? Prabhupada said, you can speak. He said, but I'm very new. Prabhupada said, the level at which they are speaking, whatever you know is more than enough. And Prabhupada went. And then Gurudas Prabhu's turn came. And he said, everybody is speaking about Everything is one. Everything is one. How can everything be one? If everything is one, is the stool on the street same as Rasgulla the sweet? And there was a gasp of shock from the audience. They had never heard an example like that. And then they came to Prabhupada and started complaining. Your disciple is criticizing us. He's telling us to eat stool on the street. So Prabhupada called Gurudas and said, hey, did you say like this? He says, no, Prabhupada, I just gave example that they are saying everything is one. So Rasgulla is a sweet. How can that be same as stool on the street? I just gave example. Prabhupada turned to these people who were complaining, these sadhus who were complaining, and Prabhupada said to them, my American disciples, they give very graphic examples. So don't worry, I'll take care of them. And then when they left, Prabhupada turned to Gurudas Prabhu and said, what was that example? Rasgulla the sweet and stool on the street, very good example. And so Prabhupada, he specifically came to the West to establish personalism. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarini. So the impersonal philosophy is that Lord as a person is not recognized. And so Sarabhaum Bhattacharya has been criticizing the personal form and not accepting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. Mukunda Sahita Kohe Bhattacharya Katha Bhattacharya Nindakare Mane Paye Vyatha. So Gopinath Acharya, who is the brother-in-law of Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, is very much pained and he tells Mahaprabhu that Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is criticizing you like this. He is criticizing the personal form. I'm feeling very saddened by this. Shuni Mahaprabhu kahe aiche mat kaha amaprati Bhattacharya hoy anugrah. Mahaprabhu looks at Gopinath Acharya and says, do not feel sad about this. Actually, do not criticize Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, because Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is speaking all this out of great mercy towards me. He actually has great feeling for me being a sannyasi. And therefore, Sarabhaum Bhattacharya wants to protect me. And so Mahaprabhu says, Amara sannyasa dharma chahen rakhite Vedan vatsalya karuna karen ki dosha ihate. Actually, Sarabhaum Bhattacharya wants to protect my sannyas vows. And so vatsalya karuna, out of great vatsalya, great affection, ki dosha ihate. He is actually saying that I should be studying Vedanta. And therefore he is recommending this. He wants to protect my sannyasa dharma. Vedanta shravana ei sannyasira dharma nirantara karatumi Vedanta shravana. So Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is telling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are a sannyasi. Your duty is to constantly hear and study Vedanta. So here is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is sitting right next to him, in front of him. But he is unable to recognize Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is only by the grace of the Lord that revelation is possible. So Mahaprabhu also very humbly sitting in front of Sarabhaum Bhattacharya inside the Jagannath temple. So Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is fully convinced that the absolute truth is impersonal while sitting inside one of the most powerful ancient temples where deity worship has been existing since time immemorial, the Jagannath temple complex. And this conversation is happening within the complex of Jagannath temple, where Jagannath, The Supreme Absolute Truth in His personal form is residing since long time, accepting worship. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personal form of the Lord, directly Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, is sitting there. And Sarvam Bhattacharya, his mind is still overwhelmed with impersonalism. Prabhu kahe, more tumi kara anugraha. Sei se kartavya tumi jai more kaha. Please give your mercy to me. Mahaprabhu speaks to Sarvam Bhattacharya with great humility. Whatever you tell me to do, I will follow that. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya starts speaking the description of Vedanta Sutra as per his understanding. And he gives the impersonal interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra for 7 continuous days. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself, and he is sitting and hearing the impersonal interpretation of the Absolute Truth from Sarvam Bhattacharya. What a funny scene. The personality of Godhead is sitting there, and here is Sarvam Bhattacharya using all the knowledge which actually is spoken by Vyasdeva. That Vedanta Sutra of Vyasdeva is used by Sarvam Bhattacharya to prove to the personality of Godhead that you are impersonal. And Mahaprabhu is also not responding. He is not cutting him off in the first day itself and telling him how dumb you are, what a foolish guy you are. And he is not trying to disprove him or attack him. Mahaprabhu is humbly hearing for 7 days. And the reason Mahaprabhu does that is he wants to prepare Sarvam Bhattacharya's consciousness to be able to hear the alternative explanation. If a person is not ready to hear, in spite of however much we try, they cannot actually get transformed. They have to be ready to follow the process. I was distributing Bhagavad Gita in the local trains in Mumbai, and I was showing this Gita to somebody, and he was asking so many questions for 15-20 minutes. Then after that he told me, my father already has purchased one Gita. My grandfather has one more Gita. So I already have 2 Gitas. So I was thinking, you could have told me 15 minutes ago. Could have saved my 15 minutes. But anyway, I smiled at him, gave him some Mahaprasad, address of the temple, and told him, please visit us sometime if you can. And I left. I went to the next bogey. This gentleman came chasing behind me. And he came up to me and said, give me a Gita. I said, "Arey, what happened? I thought your father has purchased one, grandfather has one, you already have 2. Why do you want one more?" So he looked at me and said, "You know what? Last 6 months, my wife has been chastising me, my boss has been chastising me, my children have been complaining to me. In the last 6 months, you are the first person who has looked at me and smiled at me. I want the Gita from you." I said, "If I knew that, I would have laughed and given whole Bhagavatam set." But his heart opened up. So when someone's heart opens and he becomes ready to accept the philosophy, that is when the message can actually be given. Sanyasira dharma lagi shravana matra kori tumi yai arthakara bujhite na pare. So after 7 days, Sarvam Bhattacharya looks at Lord Chaitanya and says, 7 days I have been speaking this. There is not even one murmur from your side. Are you hearing? Are you understanding? You know, what is your opinion on what I have spoken? So when Sarvam Bhattacharya asks Lord Chaitanya what he feels, then Mahaprabhu says, Sannyasira dharma lagi shravana matra kuri. It is sannyasi's duty to do shravan. Therefore I am sitting and hearing. But frankly speaking, tumi jai arthakara bujhite na pari. Whatever meanings you are explaining, I am not able to understand. Just imagine Sarvam Bhattacharya's frustration. After 7 days, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I cannot understand anything. And then he says, Jai Shishya Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki. Sutrer artha bhashya kohe prakashya. Tumi bhashya kaha sutrer artha achhadiya. Normally, an explanation is supposed to make the meaning more clear. But tumi bhashya kaha, whatever you are speaking is actually covering up the original meaning of Vedanta Sutra. Mahaprabhu says, very gently, very humbly, but very firmly. And he says, Vyasa sutrer artha yaiche suryera kiran swakalpita bhashya meghe kore achhadan. That Vyasadeva's Vedanta Sutra is as clear as the sun. But swakalpita bhashya meghe kore achhadan. The explanations which you have shared with me, it is created, as Prabhupada says, in the factory of the brain. Explanations created in your own mind and in your own intelligence. And it is covering over just like the cloud. Just as the cloud covers the sun, your explanations is covering the clear, lucid meaning of Vedanta Sutra. And so he says, Jivera nistara lagi sutra koila vyas mayavadi bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. So Mahaprabhu says, Vyasadeva wrote all the shastras to deliver the souls, and therefore anyone who hears the mayavadi bhashya, his desire and propensity to serve Krishna is destroyed. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually speaks the explanation of the Atmaram verses. And Mahaprabhu gives his mercy to Sarvam Bhattacharya by showing him his beautiful form. And so by displaying the beautiful form to Sarvam Bhattacharya, Sarvam Bhattacharya is very touched and he is transformed. And he is affected to such an extent, he starts crying in ecstasy. And at that point, he starts dancing in the kirtan of the holy names. So Gopinath Acharya, he looks at Sarvam Bhattacharya's transformation. And he turns to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he says, Gopinath Acharya kohe Mahaprabhur prati sai Bhattacharya tumi kaile ei gati. My dear Lord, what have you done to this Sarvam Bhattacharya, who was a dry, speculative philosopher, and now he is dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy names? What's going on? And at that point, Sarvam Bhattacharya looks at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, Jagata nistarilite tumi seha alpakarya, ama uddharile tumi e shakti ashcharya. That you have delivered the whole world is not a major task, but your delivering me is really something astonishing. Why? He says, Tarka shastra jada ami yaiche lauha pind, ama uddharile tumi pratap prachanda. Actually, my heart was like a hardened iron piece, but your devotional service and your mercy has melted that iron. Ama dravayile tumi pratap prachand. The power and the heat of your mercy has melted my hard heart. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next day goes to the deities of Jagannath, takes darshan and brings Mahaprasadam. And early in the morning he goes to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sees Mahaprabhu, he has not even taken his bath at that time. He looks at Mahaprabhu, offers his worship, and Mahaprabhu gives him this Mahaprasad. And without even cleaning his mouth, he immediately accepts that Mahaprasad given by Lord Chaitanya. And so, Prasadanna paya Bhattacharir Anand Hoila Danta Snana Sandhya Danta Dhavana Yadyapina Koila. That although he has not taken bath, he has not purified himself, still he takes that Mahaprasad instantly. Chaitanya Prasade Saber Jada Maner Jadya Gela Eshloka Padi Bhakshana Kurila. Speaking these verses, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya honors that Mahaprasad. And what is the verse which he says? He says that Prapti Matrena Bhoktavyam Natra Kala Vicharana. As soon as Mahaprasad is obtained, without considering time, place, circumstance, purity, one should instantly honor it. That is how Mahaprasad is so pure. The power of Mahaprasad is such that even if you are impure, it will make you pure. So these verses are very inspiring and not too difficult to follow. As soon as you get Mahaprasad, honor it. And it has its effect, it has its impact. I remember we were in South India tour and we had set up our prasadam for 3,000-4,000 devotees to come. Suddenly, you know, a police car came in and that belonged to the commissioner, the traffic commissioner. He got down and he said, I want to see the papers for the permission. So I said, okay, it is with another in charge. He's not yet here. The buses are about to come. He says, no, you cannot do this food distribution. Stop this immediately. I said, "Arey, you can't stop in the middle of our whole yatra. You'll get all your permissions. Don't worry. Give some time." He says, no, I want it immediately. I said, I cannot give you the permission paper right now, but I can give you some Mahaprasad. And we had moong dal paisam, which was made in pure ghee, you know, with all cashews floating on top. So I offered it to him. He said, hey, what is this? I'm asking you for paper. You're giving me this. I said, you begin with this. The paper will follow. So he tasted that. And as soon as he finished that one cup, he said, can I have one more? So he had 4 or 5 cups. Then he went inside his van and got one stainless steel dabba. And he said, can you pack some for my home? You know. And then he said, anyway, whenever you get that paper, send it to my office. The prasad was really good. So Mahaprabhu here, when he sees Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's response to the Mahaprasad, he is in ecstasy. Dekhi anandita hoila Mahaprabhur man, premavishta hoya prabhur koila alingan. So Mahaprabhu judges Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's spiritual transformation by seeing his response to that Mahaprasad. Why? Because he sees that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was previously an impersonalist, who would not even consider that the Lord has a personality and a form, has now gone to the other end of respecting Lord as a person to such an extent that he is honoring and respecting his remnants as his mercy. And he feels that yes, it is such a fortune to come in contact with that which has come in contact with the Lord. Tadiyanam samarchanam. He has become very respectful towards the Lord's paraphernalia. That means he has started recognizing the Lord's energies. Previously, energy, energetic, everything one. Now, he is able to see the energies of the Lord also as worshipable. So Mahaprabhu says, Ajimui anayase jirinu tribhuvan, Ajimui karinu vaikuntha arohan. Mahaprabhu says to Sarvam Bhattacharya and all the devotees, today I have this feeling, Ajimui anayase jirinu tribhuvan, I feel as if I have conquered over all the three worlds. Ajimui karinu vaikuntha arohan, I feel today I have attained Vaikuntha. And all the devotees are wondering why Mahaprabhu is in such ecstasy. What is causing him such emotions? He says, Ajimui purna hoila sarva abhilash, sarva bhaumer hoila mahaprasade vishwas. Mahaprabhu says, today all my desires are fulfilled because Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has developed faith in Mahaprasad. So we may think, oh, we already have that faith. But the point is, for Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who was such a strict follower of Brahmanical principles, to actually honor and respect that Mahaprasad instantly showed there was an increase in his faith. So this particular pastime shows that we regularly preach to people, give people books, tell them about Krishna, bring them to temple. But we hear in Gita, Krishna says, anyone who preaches is very dear to me. But here, graphically we can see, if we are able to transform somebody's faith, how much Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciates that. So Mahaprabhu is in so much of ecstasy, he is saying, Aja mora purna hoila sarva abhilash, all my desires are fulfilled, sarva bhauma hoila mahaprasade vishwas. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's faith has shifted from impersonal Brahman to the personality of Godhead, and his faith has increased. And so he says, Aji tumi nishkapate hoila Krishna shrey, Krishna aji nishkapate tuma hoila sade. Today, without duplicity, you, O Sarvam Bhattacharya, have taken shelter of Krishna. Hoila Krishna shrey. And because you have taken shelter of Krishna without duplicity, Krishna aji hoila. Haan, Krishna aji nishkapate tuma hoila sade. Krishna also has accepted you as your own. And therefore, he says that Aji Krishna prapti yogya hoila tumar man, Veda dharma langi kaila prasad bhakshan. That you have actually overcome all the rules and regulations of Vedic injunctions and honored the Mahaprasadam. And therefore, my dear Lord, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, it is only by your grace that I have done this. And actually, Gopinath Acharya was responsible for this. Because he was so closely related to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he was constantly praying for him. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya looks at Gopinath Acharya and says, Bhattacharya kohe tare kuri namaskare, tare sambande prabhu kripa koila more. He says, O Gopinath Acharya, because I am related to you, and because you are a devotee, and Mahaprabhu loves you, therefore Mahaprabhu has given his grace to me. And so he says to Gopinath Acharya, Tumi Mahabhagavat Ami Tarka Andhe, Prabhu Kripa Koila More Tomara Sambandhe. It is not because I had such scholarship in Vedanta that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has delivered me. Tumi Mahabhagavat. The reason is you, Gopinath Acharya, or a Mahabhagavat. Ami tark andhe, I am blinded by logic, but Prabhu Kripa Koila More Tomara Sambandhe. Because I am related to you, because I have a relationship with you, and you being a devotee, Mahaprabhu loves you, therefore I got that mercy. And therefore, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya gives the credit for his transformation to the personal relationship which he had with a genuine devotee. And through the devotee, the grace actually flows. And then, on the spot, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya composed two verses, which is the famous two verses, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. And then, you know, as soon as he mentions these two verses, Kaviraj Goswami says that Jai Bhattacharya Padhe Padhaye Mayavade Tar Aiche Vakyas Pure Chaitanya Prasade. That Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who was constantly studying Mayavad and teaching Mayavad, Jai Bhattacharya Padhe Padhaye Mayavade. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tara Aiche Vakya Spure Chaitanya Prasade. By Mahaprabhu's grace, such personal understanding manifested within him. Therefore, the process of devotional service is personal, and that transformation happens by the touch of the devotees. By the grace of the devotees, we get the opportunity to serve, to hear, chant, and get transformed. And that transformation of the heart, when it happens, it puts the Lord in great ecstasy, as Mahaprabhu demonstrates when he sees Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's transformation. He is in so much of ecstasy. If we become instruments in Srila Prabhupada's movement, touch different conditioned souls' hearts and transform them, change them, change their impersonal conceptions to personal conception, how much the Lord will be in ecstasy. That should be a motivating factor for us to go out and go through various challenging situations to actually preach Krishna consciousness, thinking that if I do this, I may go through some pain and difficulty, but the transformation which happens in different souls' hearts will give such smile and bliss to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, inspired by that, we try to preach Krishna consciousness. So here, Narad Muni is going through his experience of transformation and sharing how that transformation increases his own conviction in the process and path of bhakti. So he's inspiring Srila Vyasadeva to write the Srimad Bhagavatam and glorifying the process of bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.